I'm not going to share all this tonight. There's some really, really cool stuff here. I feel like the Holy Spirit has really laid upon my heart. And I believe, once again, I don't believe I'm a prophet, but I do believe there's an aspect of this word that I'm going to be giving this Sunday, of course not next Sunday, but the Sunday following, that is actually prophetic for us as a community. Okay, I know you're excited. So let me just say this. You really realize that this thing that's going on is not about me. Let me try it. You really get that this thing that's happening here at Beloved is not about me. If it's about me, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And I say that for this reason. Sometimes when you're a lead pastor, you have a sense of an atmosphere, and you have a sense. And sometimes I feel like, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I feel like people are waiting back, and they're looking to me, and they're saying, make it happen. Produce it. Grow it. Build it. Like, this is my deal, right? You're happy now, aren't you? So, and the reason I say that is because that this issue of the lamp and the oil is such a transition word that we read the Bible sometimes from such a narrow perspective that we miss the greater truth. Now, I was brought up very legalistic, you know, no makeup, no earrings, you know, my mother wore dresses, and we were just religious, and everything was a sin. Even laughing was a sin. So I grew up in a pretty staunch religious atmosphere. So I remember when I first got saved, I was so hungry, I visited every church in the area, the Mormon's church, the Jehovah's Witness church. I went to every church. I was so hungry just to hear what was out there. I had this, and I wanted something, and not that that's right. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying I had such this divine hunger. And so the Lord began to speak to me about the lamp and the oil and how in my religious eye set, we've made this story about something maybe that is not necessarily the key issue of the story. Okay, so I want to read this scripture. This is Matthew 25:1-13, and this is the New Living Translation. Now, I want you to see how it starts out. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. What's he talking about? Amen. He's talking about the kingdom. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have studied this verse and these next couple of verses, because there's parable after parable after parable. And the key focus that we see about this verse is it's on the coming of Jesus. Right? But what if there's something greater than that in the story? And I'm not in any way trying to mess with your doctrine. I'm not saying that this story does not have necessarily with the coming of Jesus. But what if the coming of Jesus in this story already happened? Now, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just wrecking with your minds a little bit. And I'm going to show you why. Okay? Now, once again, I do believe it has a multi-facet meaning to it. It does imply the coming of Christ. But I think the greater message that is in this story is actually about the journey of the bride. You get that, right? Okay, so let's read this. So, the kingdom of heaven will be like the bridesmaid. Who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. Somebody say extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Say drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. And the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourself. Somebody say to the person next to you, get your own oil. Yeah. All right. But while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came. there's a time frame in the bridegroom cometh, because it almost sounds like he's already come to some degree, right? They're all waiting. I'm running out of oil and he's here. But yet, he's not really here, because they have the opportunity to go find a place to buy some oil. It's when they come back that they realize, yeah, he actually was here. We actually missed him. And let me just tell you that this story that's being told is being told to the 12 disciples. It's not being told to the masses. It's being told to God's people. Okay? So then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day nor the hour of my return. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple instances on this story. The focus of this story is oil. Y'all see it? Oil. Don't you hate it when your car runs out of gas? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I was younger, I used to say, I can do it. I can make it. Now that I'm older, it's like, I'm half a tank. I better fill up. So the issue here is oil. And the issue is more about the bride and the journey of what they're moving towards as the encounter. And so the oil in the story actually represents the anointing. It represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is a what if, but I want you to think about it. So Jesus has given this revelation, okay, the kingdom's about to happen. The kingdom of heaven is going to come in its full function. And I want you guys to know, you better have oil. Don't run out of oil. Don't let anybody steal your oil. Whatever happens, make sure you have extra oil for what's coming. And they're like, okay, what's he talking about? Extra oil. So he dies, he's resurrected. In the Gospel of John chapter 20:21, he appears to the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, he says to them this, "Tarry, because I'm about to send oil." The Holy Spirit's the oil. Why? Because you're the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. I'm about to anoint you to be light. I am coming. But for you to be healthy, for you to walk out the journey, for you to be who you're meant to be and walk in your identity, it's going to be crucial that you prepare yourself in a way that there's not a deficiency of oil in your life. Now listen, they're all the bride. Now, it's really interesting to me. To me, if I was writing this chapter, I'd have said there was 12 bridesmaids. Because there was 12 disciples, and there's 12 tribes. But there's only 10. The reason there's only 10 is because the number 10 means completeness. So Jesus is talking about an issue of completeness here. A fullness of anointing, a fullness of something that's being presented for them, that if they'll get a hold of this truth, and they'll prepare themselves. He's saying there's going to come a moment when you're going to need every ounce of oil that you have. So I've been asking the Lord, what's happening for us right now? What's happening for me? What's happening for our community? What's happening for our people? What's going on? I don't understand what's happening to the fullest, but this is what I kept hearing. Listen to me. Preparation, preparation, preparation. I said, for what? What's coming? Now, in our minds, we automatically go negative. What's coming? You're freaking me out right now. Listen, it's totally all good. It's totally all good. What was coming to them, what Jesus was saying, the groom is coming, it wasn't a negative. It was like, oh, the groom's coming. I don't want the groom to come. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like, oh, the groom's coming. What's the requirement of us for the groom? Sufficient oil. sufficient oil. I want you to see, the master teacher of all teachers is sitting with his followers, and he's given them this revelation about a moment. One moment. Prepare for the moment. Recognize the moment. Value the moment. I was thinking this week, and every now and then I go back, I was thinking about the 5 years revival we were in Calhoun for five nights a week. We literally had people line around the building sometimes for an hour before church to get in. Why? They recognize the moment. Listen to this. If you don't recognize the moment, you can miss the oil fill up. Because moments are not really about right now. Moments are actually about over here. What I don't see. So what's the Holy Spirit's purpose? Guide you into all truth and show you. Come on, you know the verse. Show you. Go ahead, speak it out. I believe in you. Show you things to come. So listen to this. It's not always just about here. Moments are always designed to move you in a movement. They're meant to take you somewheres. And God said, if you're going to do the journey right and you're going to end up in the destination that I have for you, the purpose, the identity, the plan, the promise, you're going to have to make sure that you are keeping your oil full. Not only that, you need some extra oil. I don't know about you, but I'm all about extra oil. This word preparation means ready for service. It means a state of being prepared. It's ready for the occasion, and it's not a negative. It's actually talking about our ordained, anointed purpose and our identity. So the word oil has three significant meanings in the Bible. The first one is elia, E-L-A-I-A. It means the truth or the fruit. So we're coming in a season, listen, we're coming into a moment that whatever tree you're eating from, you're going to actually have the fruit of in your life. We are so in a moment of choice. We are so in a moment of surrendered will. And sometimes we can't explain what it looks like. I mean, I came in this thing, this revival thing, back when it was, look what the Lord has done. You know what I'm talking about? And now it's like we don't even need a song. So it can throw you off. It can launch you because of what you're so used to seeing. But here's what he's saying. On the journey, your focus has to be presence. Presence is where oil comes from. Doesn't come from programs. It comes from presence. It comes from us positioning ourselves in this place where all of a sudden the tree and the fruit are being represented to us. This oil word is shemen. Listen to this. It means anointing, riches, fruitfulness. Listen, oil 193 times in the Bible mean anointing, riches, and fruitfulness. I'm going to say something. This is not a mean message at all. If you're not very fruitful, you're running low on oil, or you're eating from the wrong tree. I feel like every believer I talk to in the last year and a half is running low on oil. There's no richness. And sometimes we don't even know what's happening in the moment we're in. And so, once again, I'm not going to even get close to touching this. So, this is a kingdom revelation for us. The root word for this word oil is really interesting. Listen to this, because I'm talking about the lamp and the oil. The root word for oil means to shine, to be oily. Not greasy, oily. To become fat. I haven't had any problem with that during COVID whatsoever. To become fat. God's fatness. He's wanting to fatten us up in moments. And these moments are so valuable that if you don't engage in the moment, you're going to miss the momentum to go in the movement that God has for us. I'd rather have 10 people that desire presence than 400 people that just want to play church. Because church won't give you oil. I've been checking my dipstick as I've been doing this. And I don't know if you know what's happening here, but we're actually living in father moments for what's to come. These are father moments for what to come. The problem is when we ignore these encounters, we end up being unprepared for destiny. You can actually be unprepared for destiny. You can actually, listen to this, and this is the big mistake. The big mistake is God's just going to do it, and we're just going to be there. Preparation always precedes blessing. What you sow today, you'll harvest tomorrow. Your whole life is about sowing and reaping. The time you spend in presence now will empower you for what's ahead. If you don't have a value on presence, you'll never move forward into what God has for you. Presence will change your family. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your friends. When you get so much oil in you that all of a sudden that your lamp is so bright, it illuminates everything around you, and everybody that the light touches becomes affected. God's wanting to just light his bride up. He's wanting to download a whole new level of truth. It's not new, but it's an expansion of what we've already got. And then he's wanting to add the reason of the truth, the purpose of the truth. Then he gives us the prophetic, the revelation that we need for what's happening, what's going to happen. I don't know if you remember the story of Paul. He's getting ready to go up to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21. He's getting ready to go up, and this guy comes and takes off his belt, and he bounds himself, and he says, you're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to turn you over to the Gentiles. They're going to put you in prison. They're going to beat you, and they're going to this. Most of us would have said, that's a warning from God. I can't go. Let's be honest, right? And I was like, Lord, like if I'm going to Chattanooga and they're going to put me in prison, don't tell me. I'll just deal with it on the journey. Now listen to this. I said, why would you tell Paul that? He said, I didn't want Paul to be distracted or unnotified. I wanted him to know what was going to happen so he could have the assurance when it happens, God's put me here. We get so concerned about what happened. Paul could have took this moment and totally said, okay, this, what I'm getting right now is not going to encourage me to move into the movement that's out there. But Paul just trucked on through. If he didn't value the moment, if he didn't value the presence that was on his life, the voice that spoke to him, the call, the anointing that was placed on him, he could have missed one of the greatest outpourings for the Gentiles that were in Jerusalem. Not only that, he was ministering to the Jewish people there. Every moment that we have has something connected to it. And we cannot wait for the moment to happen and then get ready. That's what we want to do sometimes. We cannot have the recital without a rehearsal. We cannot not build an ark before the rain. And it feels like sometimes in every church I'm going to, I hear this from pastors, it feels like instead of everybody diving in, everybody's backing up. Instead of using their gifts, they're withholding their gifts. Instead of serving, they're sitting back watching. Instead of embracing, they're kind of standoffish. And they're actually missing the moment of invitation to become more anointed than they've ever been before in their lives. To step into a greater purpose that God has for them. I remember when we were at Covenant, this word preparation precedes blessing. I was in the church one morning. I was praying, preparation precedes blessing. And we had after 2 weeks, like we went from 35 people to 25 people. It was amazing. You remember, Paul? The Lord began to speak to me, prepare. I said, prepare for what? He said, you need seats in the balcony. I said, I haven't filled the seats on the main floor yet. He said, buy seats for the balcony. I felt like a dummy going to my board and saying, hey, we're going to buy seats for the balcony. Guess what I heard? We don't need seats in the balcony. I said, I'll tell you what, you guys go home, pray over it for a week. Come back to me, honestly, just tell me what the Lord. They went home, they prayed, they come back, said, yeah, we're supposed to buy seats. Within 4 or 5 months, we had filled the sanctuary. People were starting to sit in the balcony. Here's my question. What if I'd have said no? That's ridiculous. Now, let me just tell you this. God in his mercy and grace will protect you from what you're not prepared for. What do you mean, Pastor? You can have a great calling on your life and step out ahead of time and be really messed up really bad and then blame God. You called me. Yeah, but I didn't tell you to go yet. I was still preparing you. I was still working on you. I was still trying to do something in your life. I was still shaping you and molding you and connecting you to people that were pouring to your life that you could have accountability to, that you could connect to. But you got in a hurry and you jumped out ahead of me. So God doesn't want us just to be ready for the now. He wants us to be ready for what's next. And in Matthew 25, 1-13, he's telling us, put value. Now, this word value is interesting. It means it's a relation of one part to another. Value, how you recognize value in your life is what you give yourself to. The level that you give yourself to something or someone determines how much value you have for that. So let's just be real. So, how much of us have worship service like we just had at least 4 times a week in our home? It's value. But how much of us like watch a lot of TV? And I'm not against TV. I watch TV. But we put more value, we get more rest, we think, more comfort from TV, or this is a good one, food, yeah, right? You know, every new shake that comes out from Dairy Queen is right from God, you know that, right? No, you know, I'm just being real. I really had to revisit what I really value. Now, I'll tell you how it started with me. 3 months ago, the Lord said, every night before you go to bed, I want you to have communion. You ever say yes to the Lord when you don't realize how serious something so simple is he's talking about? So I have nights when I get in at 12 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm ready, just going to bed. I know I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to go to bed, and the Lord says, hey, have communion together. I said, Lord, I'll get it in the morning. The Lord said, no, we've made this covenant, you and I. We're going to have communion every night. You're going to recognize me and I'm going to recognize you. You're going to appreciate my presence and I'm going to appreciate your presence. And I'm telling you this, first couple of weeks was hard. Because you're like, and he took the cup, and Lord, can I put something a little stronger than wine in this cup? I've been up late this week. Not really. But listen. Then it got to the place where I was having such encounters. Even if it was late, I couldn't wait to get home to have communion. And it wasn't like opening my Bible and going, I got a cracker here, I got a bread, and this is what the Lord did before the night he was betrayed, and he took the bread and he broke it. And I got to get this done, Lord, because I got to get up in the morning. So the Lord was like, take your time. Take your time. And every night it was like I'm going through this encounter with Jesus, who he is. And the Lord said, what do you think about this moment? I said, this is the most beautiful moment I've ever had in my life. I'm embracing you, and you're embracing me. And the Lord said, isn't it so simple? See, we have a preconceived idea of what this thing is supposed to look like. Our worship, our time in the Word. Most of us have the restaurant picked out before we even get here. And here's what you say. I value my time more there than I value my time here. You know what I've learned? There's no win or lose. People are mad if the worship's too long. People are mad if the worship's too short. People are mad if the sermon's too long. People are mad if they don't get enough revelation. The music's too loud. It's not loud enough. There's just no pleasing. You know why? They don't value the moment. And the sad truth is most people that attend church in America today don't even have close to 4 hours of intimacy with the Father a week, let alone 2 hours on a Sunday service. Why? Because we truly give ourselves to what we value. And here's the thing. This oil that you have, this anointing that's on your life, you're actually called to be a steward of. And sometimes we've got to stop blaming people for where we're at because we get sidetracked. We move into negativity and complaints and selfishness, pride and blame and issue and distractions and money and lies and battles and doubts and fears and division. Why? Why are we being so attacked? Because the enemy knows we're headed for the movement. He doesn't even know what it really looks like. He just knows that what's coming is going to cost him greatly. And all God's waiting for you to do is embrace the moment. Why? Because until you value the moment, you can never move into the movement. The Bible says we go from glory to glory to glory. That means at some point you had a starting place called glory. At some place in your life you had an encounter. And if you stopped, it's because somehow you've forsaken the mystery of who he is in that moment. The wonder of who he is. And we get so busy just doing life and doing church. What we know to do. And so we half-heartedly go through this race. Good worship service, good this, good that. But what if we once again embrace what it means to tarry, to wait, to abide, to remain. Even when it doesn't look like what you think it looks like. It's amazing to me how 100 people in the room can feel presence and 2 can go, God wasn't in that house tonight. I don't understand it. All I know is this. The only thing it could be is our oil has gotten so low that we've become dull to the moment. You got a little flicker left. I don't want a little flicker. I've learned when you're in the woods and you're struggling and you're lost in the dark, a little flicker won't do much for you. Every worship service is a moment. Every time we get together is a moment. Every time you're in the restaurant and you've got a waiter or a waitress waiting on you, it's a moment. Wherever you go, it's a moment, but we must recognize the moments. If you don't recognize the moment, you'll never know the reason for the moment. Listen, I've been preaching for 30 years. I am 27. I'm actually 57. I got saved when I was 23 years old. This is not a brag. This is the truth. I've read the Bible from cover to cover every year since I've been saved. Now listen, this is how easy. It's so easy for me to go to the religious status of just read the Bible this year. Brownie points in heaven. Lord said, what you get? What new revelations you get? What new encounter? What new experience? What new presence did you encounter? Wow. I've been going through this religious format, and the Lord says, just slow down. So when it changed, because I'm a shaper, I got to have, like, you know, my toothbrush has to be there, my razor. I'm just one of those guys. My mother raised us all independent. We all kept our rooms clean, everything. So the Lord said to me, he said, this whole month, I said, okay. He said, you're not reading anything but the book of Psalms. And I immediately went into a panic. Withdrawals. He was like, Lord, that's not how it works. I got to read four different sections of the Bible every day. And the Lord said, no, he gave me a psalm. Just read this psalm. So I'll never forget. I sat down, I read the first psalm that he told me to read. And I read, and I said, yeah, I've read that before. And he said, yeah, but look closer. So all of a sudden, this truth jumped off the page at me. I got up the next day and I said, what psalm am I reading today? He said, the same psalm. I said, yeah, I read that yesterday. It was awesome. And then that day, a truth for a whole month. And he installed in me a different value for the vast revelation. And I've learned this. I've learned that when I steward what I value well, it opens up the door for more of what I value. So listen to this. If you value money, you'll give every spare moment of your time to money because that's what you value. And listen to this. If it's the love of money, the enemy will even open up doors for you. Are you against money? No, we need all kinds of cash. Bring it. We're going somewhere. So we got a church to build. We're looking at property. We got things going on. We're being set up for a great revival. The church as a whole is going to experience something that's so beyond us. But it's not going to happen with a little oil. Listen, the Lord has downloaded so much out of this story for me. So if you look at this story in Matthew 25, the next thing he goes into is he goes into a money moment. He just had an oil moment. Now he has a money moment. What's he teaching them? He says, hey, I'm going to give, you know, a couple of talents to the first servant, three, and then two to the next one, and then one to the next one. And he says, and here's what's going to happen, and however you steward these. However you function in the moment that I give it. Listen. Anytime God gives you something, the moment he gives it to you is the moment you become a steward. There's nothing he gives you that you're not a steward of. He gives you his relationship. You're a steward. When I got married, I became a steward. I didn't say to my wife, well, you got to steward this thing. I'll talk to you later, and I hope it works out for us. You do this, and I may stick around. It was a steward issue. Stewarding my words. Stewarding my value. I'm a crazy hunter, crazy fisherman. the next best thing in Jesus and saving, being saved and being married is busting ducks somewheres in Arkansas for me. So my big deal was when I got saved, there was a lot that I had that didn't fit into the concept of what my covenant looked like. My covenant was here, but my priorities and values in some areas were here. And the Lord said, for this to work, you've got to do this. And I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher or a pastor. I'm saying this because I'm a Christian. I can't believe that sometime we have one day a week, 2.5, 3 hours where we meet corporately to focus on presence and how that cannot be valuable to us. That we can find some reason. Oh, Pastor, you're just preaching. No, I'm preaching serious. When presence loses value, we're in trouble. What happens? Our oil gauge goes. You already got it. You've been given the anointing. You've got the oil. It's just stagnant. There's three parts to the lamp. There's the body, the oil, and the wick. And I'm going to talk about that next time I preach. I'm going to talk about the reality that you are actually the wick. And you have to steward your wick. Listen to this. If you steward the wick, you steward the oil. It's automatic. If you take care of this, I'm not talking physics, I'm talking totally spiritual now. Because if you don't value where you are now, you're going to miss what's coming. We want a full house now. We want a building now. We want property now. We want this now. We want, come on, do it. Let's get this going. Let's make this happen. Yada, da, 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 da. But what if we're not prepared? What if there's an unleash of harvest of the broken and the bound and the addicted? We ain't got nothing. We just doing church. Look how awesome we are. But very little oil to offer. The oil's not just about you. The oil is what illuminates who he is. It brings illumination, brings revelation, brings encounter, it brings experience. It lights up so we can see how much we need and where we need him. It's imperative for me to be presence and oil driven. So he gives them this parable about money, the very next thing. And here's what he says. If you position yourself properly in the moment, there'll be promotion. For him to what is given and stewards it well, more will be given. When I steward presence well and I steward value what should be valued well, what happens is God says, I'll give you more of the same. Oh, I love that you value revelation. I'll give you more of the same. I love that you value prophetic. I'll give you more of the same. Whatever you value the most, a lot of times is what you get. And so he takes him into this very next revelation about money. Two of them invested it. They stewarded it. And one just buried it. Listen, he had it. He had a talent. He didn't know what to do with it. It just stayed right here. There was no here. It was just right here. I got this thing given him by the Lord. Oh, it's so sweet. Chocolate cake. I love it. Hmm. for our church, our community, until we value this moment, we'll never move into the movement. Okay. Till we learn to value worship, till we learn to value the word, till we learn to not be in a hurry because, you know, church is only supposed to last so long. And if it's any longer, we won't get people. People are sick of church. And listen to this. I don't know what this fully means yet. Hopefully by next, not Sunday, but the Sunday before that I will, or after that. This is what the Lord said. For what's coming, you're going to need extra oil. And you won't be able to make it on my oil. Now listen. I'm about to close. Listen to me. I believe some of us are oil chasers, but we're not presence chasers. We're oil chasers. We want to go have the encounter with the next anointed guy and hopefully get some of his oil. Wow. Did you know that anytime you pursue anything from a man that comes from God, it's a form of worship?
Wow.
True. Anytime you pursue something from a man that comes directly from God, it's a form of worship. For you to think that I'm going to make this thing happen without you, you realize it's a form of worship. I hope you didn't come because of me. I hope you came because you bought into who we're going to be Love Company. We have a vision to have divine encounters with God, to see people healed, whole, be healthy, be who they're called to be in their identity and their purpose. They're going to be in Him. We live, we move, we have our being. Everything we do is going to be based on love. And we're going to have community. That's a family. That's a body that does not just feast together, but we do war together. That's who we're called to be. That's the vision. And the only way that happens is if we value where we are right now. God really began to deal with me about value. So we see a gift and we say, oh, I want that gift. If I get that guy pray for me, I can have that gift. Part of that's true. What about maintaining the gift? What about walking out the gift? We're getting close to a bunch of students graduating. My question is, what's next? Everything you've got, what's next? We've settled for a splash of anointing. We like being around the oil. We like having a touch, a sprinkle, a dab of the oil. You know, with the priest in the Old Testament, it was like 1.59 gallons of oil. It was over 6 liters of oil. And I said, why? The Lord said, I didn't want anything on them that wasn't touched by oil. Nothing. Listen, you pour 1.6 gallons of oil over me, I guarantee you hug me, you're going to get some oil on you. If you can hold on to me. Do you know what oil does? Listen, oil makes you slippery. So what normally could stick to you can't stick to you anymore. Yeah. Hey. Right, you want somebody else to do something to keep you from your battles. And God said, if you just spend some time in His presence and get some oil, everything the enemy throws at you will not be able to stick to you. It won't be able to firmly connect itself to who you are. There comes a time when individually, most people I look around this room have been in church a long time. There comes a time when we have to take responsibility for our walk. Listen, a woman breastfeeding a 7-year-old does not look normal to me. You almost want to walk up and lay hands and pray a deliverance prayer. Let the baby grow up. I'm just being honest. Let maturity come. We need to empower people to embrace who they are, to position themselves in a place of presence where they get such an anointing on them that not only does it repel anything, hey, the enemy will sow stuff at you, it'll land on you for a while, but it won't be able to stay. But here's the good thing. Anybody who touches you will get a taste of oil. See, my oil's not meant for you to have. My oil's meant for me to make you hungry for your own oil. You're supposed to see my oil and go, how do I get that? I want some of that. Well, you can have a little bit of mine today, but it won't last you. My oil won't last you. When what's coming, my oil's no good to you. You're going to have your own oil. These were 10 virgins. They were all in the same place, all having the same encounter, all having the same lamp. They all dressed alike. They looked alike. They were in the same moment. Somehow five got distracted enough to realize, oh my goodness, I'm running out of oil. Or they didn't value it enough. They didn't recognize its importance. Why? Because they didn't see what's coming. They truly didn't see where they were headed. That's the thing about missing the moment. You never truly see where you're going. I'd be disappointed if the Holy Spirit just gave me truth and said, yeah, just, there's the truth for you. My next question, you've heard me preach on this, the two great questions in Acts, after the outpouring of this Holy Spirit was, what meaneth this and what must I do? Acts chapter 2. Then you read a little longer after the outpouring, Peter's preacher says, well, okay, what must I do with this? So when God gives me truth, I go, okay, Lord, what meaneth this? My next question is, what must I do? How is this meant to empower me? How is this meant to move me forward? See, the moment you're in right now is either meant to move you forward, it's to launch you, or you can just totally devalue it. Stay where you're at, or you'll actually start backing up. I'll never apologize for hunger. I'll never apologize for pursuit. I'm the wrong guy to come to me and say, the worship's too long. Because I was a worship leader for many years. I've seen people get healed during worship, delivered during worship. So here's my thing. If we don't value moments, then we ask the question, why are we not anointed? You know, covenants always need fill-ups. Anybody here married? How many of y'all know you need fill-ups? You need individual fill-ups. That's why I kill things. And you need corporate fill-ups. You need together fill-ups, but you need individual fill-ups. Why? Because that's how covenant works. Intimate relationships require focus and value. I've learned this. Anytime you devalue your spouse, it's probably the most greatest unpardonable sin that you could possibly do. Value is where you find purpose. Value is where you find presence. And once again, we've lost, we've lost the ability to wait, tarry, seek, rest, and soak. Do you know why? You got something better to be doing than this. You got a more important place to be. Lord, I have to work tomorrow. So do we. The estimation we put on. If I was to ask you, what does your lamp look like right now? What does your wick look like? Where's your oil light at? Listen, Are you bored with worship? Are you bored with presence? Do you read your Bible? Are you bored with that? Are you not hearing the voice of God daily? Are you not encountering his presence every day of your life? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, not for a day, not for an hour, not for a second. I'm always there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm always willing to have conversation, encounter. I want you to experience my presence. I want to sit down. I want to eat together. I want to feast together. I want to show you stuff. I want to speak into your life. I want you to just speak your heart into me, and I want to just give you fresh, 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 constant. You were not meant to live with moments of oil. You were meant to live with an overflow of oil the entire life you have as a believer. Is that too far from your mind? Because it's so simple. Presence. Pursuit of presence. Pursuit of presence. I believe this, and I'm going to close with this thought. So here he's given them some oil lessons about the anointing they're called to walk in. And it required a submission of their will, because your will unsubmitted to God will never lead you to your identity. The only time you truly find your identity as Christ is when your will is submitted to him. That's the only way it works. So you don't bother me a lick if you want to come up during worship and lay on these three pews. I see you're all excited about that. I thought about laying. I don't know which son it was yours. I can't remember his name, but when he used to come in for worship, he used to lay up on his. I thought, oh, if I could do that tonight, just lay down and model and lay in the presence of God. My fear was I may not be able to get up again. Lord said, don't worry about it. If you do it, I'll get you up. Isn't it incredible that kids have no sense? They actually don't think, if I do this, I'm going to look crazy. A baby doesn't hide its hunger in a group of people. It just screams. It throws everybody off. It's like, who's got the baby? Get the baby out of the sanctuary. We can't focus. Let's be real, because we have this concept or an idea of what it looks like. David had a triune anointing on his life. King, warrior, worshiper. His first oil he received was his identity as a son. Samuel came and said, surely you've got another boy. Now, I want you to see this. Samuel said, Samuel means the name of God. The prophet's name means the name of God. So here's what. God's coming to David, who was an outcast from his other brothers, who was out in the field tending sheep, while all of his brothers were rejoicing with their genuine family. And God shows up and says, I'm going to give you my name. And Samuel's going to anoint you. The very first anointing in David's life was sonship. But listen, if you don't show up in the moment, there is no anointing. Your greatest revelation of who you are is found in presence. Part of that is just simply showing up. So here's, watch this. So David married Saul's daughter. This whole story. Like, when if somebody came to me and said, "Hey, Jamie, if you can marry my daughter, if you can, you know, present like, you know, 1,000 foreskins," I would say, "You got any daughters that, you know, for just one foreskin?" The whole idea of touching people is freaking me out a little bit. So one foreskin would do for me. The ugliest bride, I'll take the ugliest, don't bother me, you know, just so I can be married to the king's daughter. But watch this. So David gets this anointing. He's in position now. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to the city. David strips off except for his loincloth. He's dancing through the streets. I'm not there yet. You never know. He's dancing through the streets. Watch this. Saul's daughter, his wife, gets ticked. Why? She's the king's daughter. David's reaction to presence was not right. It was not normal for a king. It was out of line. Yeah. Yeah. What happens to some of us is we get so scared of, you know, if I do that, I'm going to be out of line. If I run and if I dance, if I twirl, if I could twirl, I'd be twirling all the time. If I do this, I'll be out of line. Why? Because that's not what we do in church. And there's going to be somebody watching me going, oh, that's not what we do in church. And we may have visitors and you're going to offend our visitors. Right? Listen, if I show up next week with a wife beater and Speedos on, I'm telling you right now, two things are going to happen. You're going to know it's God, or you're going to leave. Listen, we don't realize how much where we're going messes with our present structure of what we think this thing looks like. And listen, God will not stop loving you if you miss your moment. It just means you have to go around the mountain again. And again. And again, just like Israel. A 14-day journey will take you 40 years. It's so much easier to just embrace the moment. What meaneth this? What must I do? Where are you right now in your journey? In your journey. I'm going to say this, and I want you to catch this. And I'm going to pray. I got to pray. There's so much in here. But listen to this. There was five wise virgins. There was five foolish virgins. For every wise virgin, there was a foolish virgin. When you're anointed, foolish people will always show up and want your oil. Now listen to me. I'm not being mean. Be careful who you let speak into your life. So for me, this is what I've learned, Chuck. If I'm counseling you and by the third session you're not doing anything I'm telling you, you're an oil sucker. Yeah. Or that leech. You just want to be negative. You just want to complain. You don't have any intention on changing. Now listen, this is the mistake we make. Brian, I could be teaching this at school. If you're a healthy virgin that's full of oil, you've actually, it's incorrect for you not to be able to say no. If you feel like you can't say no to people that suck your oil out of you, that have no intention of ever getting their own, you're an unhealthy virgin. If you read this in one translation, when the five unhealthy, foolish virgins came and said, hey, can we have your oil? In one translation, it said, they said to them, get your own oil. We have to recognize, listen, two things the Lord told me in this season. The gift of wisdom, I love the gift of prophecy, healing, faith, all of it. The two desired, most desired gifts of the church should be the gift of wisdom and the gift of discernment. Yes. You need to be able to discern who is after what in your life. Yeah. Pastors, we've never been good at saying no. Ever. We've always been, because what if I say no, I'll break their heart. They may not want to stick around, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord said, yeah, okay, great. Won't be long. You feel your oil going, beep, 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 beep. Yeah, but Lord, I'm over here filling up. Doesn't matter. Quick as you fill it, they'll drain it. I'm not saying not love that person. love that person, but empower them to change. Empower them to take responsibility for their life. Empower them to pursue presence. I've actually sat with couples after a third session and said, listen, this is what I feel like. I feel like you're really not getting what I'm giving you, so I'm going to transfer you to another one of our pastors. Maybe they can have an impact on your life. They get mad. I say, well, listen, the first week we met, I asked you to read two scriptures. Hard, eh? It's Canadian for you. It's a tough week. I don't know what I thought, expecting you for 7 days to actually read two verses in the Bible. Healthy virgins learn to say no. And some of us are not depleted because of crisis. We're depleted because of people in our life that we've not been able to say no to. And I don't mean like, no. Being righteous and holy is not a license to be ignorant. I just simply say, hey, man, I've been trying to disciple you. You're just not getting it, brother. I love you. But I think there may be somebody else in the church maybe that will fit you better. Maybe they can help you. Then I see that person a couple weeks coming in the church. Met with Billy Bob again, didn't you, this week? Yeah, sucking your oil, isn't he? Yeah. This story is so full of truth. I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I don't want to be a part of Israel like Israel. I don't want to be the generation that misses out on promise. I don't want to go around the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain. Listen, bread from heaven, quail. I mean, you got quail and bread sandwiches. I mean, you halfway there. I mean, that's a long time food right there. I mean, you got flint rock splitting oak giving you water, a fire by night, a cloud by day, your clothes not wearing out, your sandals not wearing out, nobody getting sick, nobody getting diseased, and still complaining? You must have known that Moses' oil reserve got so low at some point, instead of speaking to a rock, he hit a rock. The Lord said to me personally, for you, for your home, for your kids, for your marriage, you cannot allow your oil to be depleted. In a nutshell, we are going after God, okay? We're going to be a church of worship, supernatural encounter, prophetic, divine experience. That's who we are. If I wanted to be like every other church, I'd have stayed where I was. Nothing wrong with that. I want more. I want God to show up where some nights we can't even get off the floor, where all we can do is look at each other and laugh or speak in some language. We don't even know what's going on. I want people to come in and be set free instantly from drug addiction. Listen to this. When I was out in Arizona running revivals way back, and when I was in revival, we would have hundreds of Indians travel 3 and 4 hours drunk to come to revival, stand in the mud, be prayed for, fall out drunk, and get up full of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me God can't do it. It just takes people to say, I'm going to favor the moment I'm in right now. I'm going after you, Jesus. I'm believing for such an outpouring of fresh oil that there's going to be extra, more than enough. Something that's for an occasion I don't even expect. No matter what happens, when it comes down to the rubber, to the wire, I'm going to be ready because my tank is going to be full. Yes. This is outpouring time. There has to be an outpouring for there to be an overflow. And I'm telling you from somebody, there's a lot in revival that I learned. The one thing I learned the most was don't rush presence. Embrace it. Embrace it. Potential without preparation is painful. It really is. This room is full of potential. But listen, there's guys in prison full of potential. There's people in alleys with a needle in their arm that's full of potential. The worst thing that can happen to us is be full of potential and be poor in experience. Potential's pointless unless we're in a preparation time with what we have potential with. I'll never forget when I turned 55, I thought, okay, my ministry's coming to a close. That's every turn, stupid. And I said, yeah, Lord, I just, 10 more years. 10 more years, Lord, and I'm going to retire. And I'm going to say no a lot more. And it was just like, the Lord says, I'm never going to be through with you, That discourage you? Doesn't mean I'm going to pastor the rest of my life. But I'm never going to be through. Why? Because the more you go after presence, the more you experience glory. And glory in its nature, listen to this. God, the glory of God's nature is automatically to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's the nature of who he is. So listen to this. The nature of moments with God is always, the intended drive of it is always the next moment, the next moment, the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. It's the nature of who he is. You know what the word glory is? It's the weightiness of God. The word glory in the New Testament is a Greek word that means praise and worship. So when I go from glory to glory, here's what it's saying. Every level of glory I go to, I see a different aspect of God and who he is for me, that it increases my aspect of my heart for worship. Oh, God, over here, I was praising you for this, but now that I see you like that, oh, my gosh, my praise goes to a whole other level. Oh, when you recognize my presence, guess what happens? Another level of glory. You pay attention to the moment that I'm in. I was sitting in the back room and I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, whatever you want tonight, whatever you want, come or go, stay, whatever you want, preach, don't preach, worship, whatever you want, just fill your house with your presence. Whatever you want. Surely we have to recognize there's people here tonight that you've been feeling like you've been in the fog, that you're not connected to God as you were one time. You're discouraged. You're distracted. You're tired. You're disconnected. You're in a once-in-a-while oil person. And you go to church to do your duty. I'm just being real. I don't have time for filly-fallin' or fooling around. I just want to get in the presence. I want us to get on page with Jesus and what he's doing so we can go out there and affect a community that's really hurting and looking for the answer that you and I have. Yes. Everywhere as we go, functioning, overflowing, dripping, slippery and sticky at the same time. Can you imagine 6 liters of oil? Now listen to this. The oil was made of different components. Most of them had a real strong smell. You did not have to guess when a priest walked in the room. You could smell him. You ever had somebody smell so bad that when they walked in the room that you didn't have to look, you knew they were present? I'm not being mean. The priest, when he would show up, and they would pour that, you see the description of it in with David, it would just roll, and the priest, it would roll down over their beard and down over their garment and down over their legs and down under their feet and into their sandals. And not only did they just drip with the oozing smell of it, everywhere they walked, they left this smell of who they were and what was on them and what their calling was and what their gifting was. If people don't recognize what we have, we need to question what we have. If you work in a place and they don't even know you're a believer, you need to question what you believe. I'm just scared to lose my job. God's a big God. He can protect your job. He can give you a better job. See, listen to this. Just because you look like a bride, have a lantern, you're in the same place, what you say you are and who you say you are better be who you are. The difference that makes the difference is there's an oil on you. There's an oil in you. There's something that radiates from you. Anytime you reject the moment of encounters with God, you get too busy, you have to leave, you're tired, you're this, you're bored, you're this, you're... I mean, I could give you all kinds of scenarios. Anytime you reject it, listen to me, what you do is you put a bushel over your light. You know what bushel is in the Greek? I got to stop. Bushel means a measure. So what you're saying to God is, God says, I'm anointed for you. I want you to talk to that person, pray for that woman, speak up right now, da, 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 da. No, Lord, I don't know about that. You put a bushel over your light. What you're doing now, you're limiting oil. You do that enough, you'll put your flame out. Well, you still have a wick, you still have a lamp, you still have some oil. You just put your flame out. You walk flameless. You become a wick that has no purpose. See, the wick is the bridge between the oil and the light. That's you. You're the wick. You mess with the wick, you mess with the oil. You mess with the wick, you mess with the light. Be the wick. Don't be wicked. So I've learned that people want to rob my oil are usually gossipers, the negative, they're complainers. And I can deal with a legitimate, you know, thing. I don't mind that. But people that just want to remain in that place. I got a new phrase, new catchphrase. I'm putting it on a t-shirt and we're going to sell it. It's going to be called Be Love, Get Your Own Oil. Noah goes, okay, we're not doing that, Dad. We're not getting that t-shirt. I'm okay. We'll get a hat. But anyway. And I'm going to tell you this. And I know you hear a message like this and you're like, oh, such a hard message. It's not a hard message. It's an awakening message. One thing I've done, when I went to school the first year, me and Darlene sat outside because we didn't know what we were going to embrace. We took hands. We said this little heartfelt prayer. Okay, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do whatever, say whatever you want in our lives. And then we looked at each other and went, I don't know, we need to maybe pray another prayer. I've learned this. I've given God permission to speak into my life. It's not always lovey-dovey. I give God to speak strong truth to me. Like not, hey, Jamie, I love you, Brian. Brian, and I don't know how to bring this up, but I'm not going to talk about it. Let me just love on you a little longer. You know, Brian, getting back to what we talked about earlier, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I should send somebody else. I don't want you to be offended at me and think I don't love you or like you. No, God comes to me and goes, hey, Jamie, you need to stop doing that. Why? Because it's dumb. That's how I hear God. No joke. There's sometimes it's loud. It's like, hey, dummy, stop that. It's just like that. And sometimes it's gentle. I'm saying, hey, son, I love you. I love that you're here. I need you to work on this. Then sometimes it's like, if you don't stop this, it's going to hinder your identity. And What we don't want, we don't want to be a house of orphans. You know the difference, you know the main difference between an orphan and a son is? An orphan is in it for what he can get, and sons are in it for what they can give. Yeah. An orphan spirit is always, what can you give me? A son spirit is, what can I give you? Stand to your feet. I'm just curious, and I don't want to get ahead of myself with this, but we've got an altar team that's going to be coming, and it's so powerful. I'm going to ask them to come, if they'll just come right now, and I'll hand it over to Noah in just a sec. And so if you're ministering at the altar, I want you to come tonight. So, what's your journey look like right now? I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been in a place where I've been bored with God. Sad, it's truth. I've been in a place where I didn't feel like I was hearing Him. I've been in a place where church was a task, not a pleasure. I've had nights I sat on the pew and go, service is so long. It's just worship. It's just, had to repent. When God says, hey, buddy, pay attention to the moment. So let me just say this. If He was here, Jesus, if He physically showed up, just like He did with the disciples, He just walked through the doors. He didn't have to open them. He physically showed up. What would your response be? What would your worship look like? What would your reaction to the moment be? Huh? Would you withdraw in shame because you're not as hungry as you thought you were? Listen, there's a lot of garbage you can give yourself to. I live with it every day. I hear stuff about me I didn't even know about me every day. Stuff I did that I didn't even know I did. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's crazy. But here's what the Lord said to me. Watch your oil. Focus on my presence. So when I went through a period of when He would show up, I'd find myself in shame and regret. Why? Because the value that I placed on the things that He valued was out of proportion to the things other things I valued. The Lord just kindly said to me one day, you feel what you feel because of the level of the oil in your life. So if He was here right now, how would you feel? You ready? Because He is. He's here right now in this house. Feeling. It's like a heaviness. It's like a blanket. And there's this invitation that the Holy Spirit has for us of fresh oil. He's wanting to impart something to you. He's wanting to fill you up. You've been running low. He says, hey, it's not me. I'm not causing you to run low. Just been distracted. Had some issues. Your focus has been off a little bit. It's been about what it's not about. You know, if a wick on a lamp gets crooked, do you know what happens? It doesn't bring light, it only burns smoke. You know what happens? You can't clearly see who he is, because it can't be illuminated to you. Why? Because your wick has been positioned out of place. Instead of looking there, you're looking over here. You're looking over there. You're looking down there. You're looking back here. We're watching the news. We're watching COVID. We're watching the deaths. We're listening to every bit of garbage that we can get our minds on. We're judging. We've stepped out of biblical principles. If you're offended, go to your brother. We're trying to function in a balance that's not balanced. Then we sit back and complain about no anointing. The Lord spoke to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, I want you to be responsible for stewarding your own anointing. It comes from him. Brian, you and Noah to come stand with me up here. We're going to pray for some people. I'm going to go where the Lord takes it. You guys stay here too. I'm moving with what I feel. I just feel like the Lord's got an outpouring on this that he wants to do. And I'm more concerned about what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now than anything. I really am. I just feel this. Overwhelming presence. Can't even describe it to you. So fresh. You know, Noah said his mercies were new every morning. Can you imagine getting up and having a different experience with mercy every morning? Not just new that it's another day, a new level of mercy. This thing is so tangible and so real. You could feel it in your emotions because God created your emotions to feel it. It gives truth to your experience. There's some of us in here, we just need a fill up. We need some stuff just washed off of us. We need fresh. So if that's you, I want you to come right now up around this altar. We're going to begin to pray. Boys, you're not going to be locked into one spot. We're going to be moving. So if you need a fresh fill up of oil, I want you to come. Right? Don't hesitate. Listen, don't wait for somebody else to say, I'm going to go because so-and-so went. Take away the negative. Take away anything that we've embraced that's not of you. I break it off them right now in the name of Jesus. Take the lid off who they are right now and just begin to pour the freshness of who you are into their lives. Let their excitement return for who you are. Let them once again just embrace the mystery of who you are. Give them a hunger for the things they've lost hunger for. Right now, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. More, more, more. More, more, more. Moment. You need need oil. Don't miss this moment. Don't sit back. Don't go around the mountain again. I hear the Lord saying, don't miss this. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. I'm doing fill-ups.